Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Shaquille O'Neal. Do you ever scream at your printer, call it naughty names, or hurl empty ink cartridges across the room? You likely suffer from cartridge conniptions caused by ink cartridges constantly running out of ink. Thankfully, the Epson EcoTank printer is the perfect cure. It's cartridge-free, conniption-free, prescription-free, with big ink tanks and a ridiculous amount of ink. So you can finally kiss expensive cartridges goodbye. The Epson EcoTank, just fill and chill. Available at Office Depot and Staples.
On the 106th day, God gave us Ange. Welcome to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I'm joined by Lawrence Connolly and Declan McConville. What's your reaction, guys? I'll come to you first, Declan.
I'm just kind of glad we've eventually appointed a manager. It's been a long haul. We've went down and up, but we've eventually got our man. I've seen him do a Celtic interview, and I'm intrigued about what the future holds for Ange Postecoglou.
Intrigue. What about yourself, Lawrence? I mean, we have followed this step by step, blow by blow, you could say, because there's been a few blows along the way. How are you feeling this morning? There was a sense of inevitability when the video dropped on the Celtic website. We kind of knew it was coming. Now that it's here, what's your thoughts?
It's probably higher risk than any of us expected, probably just because we're less comfortable with it. We don't know a lot about the guy. You know, what is out there in YouTube looks good, but then again, how many players have we said that about? But it was kind of getting to the stage where I just didn't give a 4X, mate. We needed to get somebody in. And, you know, we've got him in. He should have enough time to prepare us for a Champions League qualifier. And, you know, if we qualify for the Champions League, you know, it's... would look like we would have a decent manager, because it's something that, you know, a few of the recent lauded managers have failed to do.
You're going to have to explain the Castlemaine 4X reference to Declan. He's a young man who won't remember the adverts, Lawrence.
No, Declan, mate, I can see the pub from here. you know,
He's looking blankly. He's looking blankly. Those trendy West End bars that Declan goes to, I don't think they sell Castlemaine Forex. Now, when we look at the appointment, this is a direct result, is it not, Declan, of the downfall of the Eddie Howe deal. We can't ignore that. Celtic are in a position today, or when the serious negotiations started with Ange Postecoglou, and we were only in that position due to the fact that we'd gone so far down the line with Eddie Howe, that during that period of time, with the eggs in the Eddie Howe basket, or as Russell Boyce might say, being on that Eddie Howe bus, some of the other targets had found jobs elsewhere. And I said yesterday on the broadcast, Postecoglou may well have been one of the candidates all along, but he's certainly not the first, is he even the second? How much of that has taken the sting out of today's announcement, or the joy, any joy you might have had out of today's announcement, the disappointment of the Eddie Howe deal collapsing just a couple of weeks back?
Yeah, I think the whole circumstances surrounding the whole deal, Paul, has been a whirlwind. You know, we expected to get Eddie Howe obviously in, and then the statement came, it'll be 2 weeks past tomorrow, the statement came that the deal had collapsed. We basically made it clear that that was the candidate that we wanted to have, and it didn't work out. Club made it very clear to you know, journalists and whatnot, that we'd basically give him a blank slate, and it was up to him. It didn't want to come, and basically the two parties walked away from the deal, which again made us all ask questions. And you know, as it said on here last week, that if we were so far down the line with another candidate, why is it taking 2 weeks after? I know there's been visas and compensation to sort out, but yeah, it probably has taken a sting out of it for a lot of us. It's more a sigh of relief rather than excitement, but it's just a case of getting our heads down now, getting back to watching, hopefully Celtic come back to training, and then getting those pre-season friendlies underway in Champions League. It'll be quick from now on in, probably, so it'll be interesting to see who departs, who comes in the door, and if there's any other changes made at the club.
Lawrence, on that point, and you know, I've already had a few text messages and some of the comments I'm sure will come through saying stop being so negative, Paul, but on that point, you can't forget the fact that we're here, and we're here 106 days down the line because our first target didn't work out. Is it going to be a case, Lawrence, do you feel, that no matter what happens, it's always going to be the what if? You know, Eddie Howe would have given us this, Eddie Howe would have given us that. There was an element of that, I felt, after Brendan Rodgers left. You know, no matter what Neil Lennon did, we were always going to be thinking about the outgoing gaffer, or the gaffer we didn't get.
There's going to be an element of that, but it's not 106 days because our first target didn't work out. It's 106 days because the board were shambolic in their negotiations of contracts with Howe. They should have had him tied in a contract. They said, look, with a memorandum of understanding. It wasn't good enough, mate. He should have been had a piece of paper in front of him going, look, you don't want to start the June, that's fine. You've got 2 weeks to sign the contract. If not, we move on. Instead, everything was left up in the air. We didn't tie the man down. And we're left looking particularly foolish, mate, as a football club. So that's why it got 106 days, because of the mismanagement of the board of it, or whoever was negotiating this contract deal was behind, mate. Not because Howe didn't work out. That could have been buttoned down within a month, mate. You know, it should have been. So, yeah, and, you know, it is going to be what if elements of it. But if we'd buttoned that down quicker and moved on quicker, you know, we'd probably all be feeling a bit better about it.
Well, you said that we're looking a bit foolish. I think when you're looking at the managerial merry-go-round, Declan, it's already started, not just in Scotland, but down south, and how quickly clubs are acting on the loss of a manager, and they're getting other managers in fairly quickly, of a high calibre, it's got to be said. We have described ourselves as a football club today as world-class, right? So do you agree with Lawrence in respect of the fact that this whole process is probably contributing to some of the lukewarm reactions that we've been getting today on the arrival of Postecoglou?
Yeah, I definitely do agree with Lawrence on that. I mean, you know, I totally agree with the point that if we saw any type of doubt, and the fact that we didn't get anything contractually signed by Eddie Howe, we should have walked away from the deal. I think that's as clear in the day to anybody. You know, but we've got a big season coming up here. We've had an absolute catastrophic disaster this season, and we needed to move on. And it's taken this long because of our slowness to a point and just hanging on until the point eventually came where they appeared to say, are you going to take this job or not? Which is something that probably should have happened months ago, because, you know, we've had months to know this wasn't going to work out and that we needed to get a new man in. But again, you know, on that, Spurs are another football club that probably describe themselves as that, and I've taken over 50 days to appoint a manager. They probably will do it imminently. Don't know who they'll go for. Totally down to bad mismanagement by the board and not appointing somebody quickly, and not quickly, I don't mean that as in terms of just first man, but in terms of if you want your candidate, get something contractual, get something down in paper and get an agreement made, not verbally, something contractually. And it's why it's taking so long to get to this point. We probably could have had Postecoglou done months ago if we had walked away from the Howe deal, but we are where we are, and I think it's just a case of trying to pick ourselves up, being a bit more positive and moving forward into those pre-season friendlies, Champions League qualifiers, and hopefully getting some players in the door.
I'm keen today of all days, Declan and Lawrence, to get as many comments up on the screen and as parts of the discussion as possible. So thanks everybody for getting involved on YouTube, Facebook and on Twitter. First up, Magnet67, positive thoughts today, team. Dom clearly talking about change throughout and modernisation. I'm on the Ange Dom bus. It was good, I've got to say, Lawrence, to hear from the incoming CEO, Dominic Mackay. Very positive and everything that he said, and you would take from that interview and the interview from Postecoglou that Dominic Mackay has certainly been part of the negotiations with the incoming gaffer.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, it was fresh. He seemed more skilled at communication than anyone we've had at the club in a long time. Let's see if he delivers, mate. But you know, it's a good start, I think, from him. He's been. You've touched on it on the show before. He's been phoning up individual season book holders. So it definitely looks like we're going in the right way. Ange has said, you know, he sat down with Dom. He spoke, they share a common vision, which is something we've spoke about, you know, last season. We need everyone at the club to share a common vision and a common goal, not to be kind of not getting on and fighting against each other. So, yeah, everyone's going to be behind Ange and Dom. It's... let's hope it's still the case by December, you know, that they've, if not top of the league, but at least we can see there's progress, you know, that the team's playing well. We've got a defined style as a club again. You know, we're bleeding youngsters into the team. Mm. So, you know, it should be exciting times, as Mr. Strachan says.
The one without the laptop, yes, the senior. Brian Watt comes in to say a new beginning has happened today. Gerald McEwen, good luck, Ozzy Ange. Got a feeling you're going to need it. Hail, hail. Michael Cunningham, best of luck to the new gaffer. It's up to the board now to back their guy. I'm going to come to Declan in just a second in relation to that. The dude abide reminds us that we need to now look at a director of football. And Patrick Murphy, I hope he's given the environment to succeed. This goes on to what Lawrence was saying, Declan. His own staff having a same recruitment, good budget would show this. I'm underwhelmed, but we'll give him a chance. Good luck, Ange. You'll need it. What Lawrence was saying there, Declan, I think a lot of Celtic fans are saying exactly the same. It really now comes down to the fact that the environment has to be right for any manager to succeed, not just Ange Postecoglou coming in with a calibre outside the European football, which seems to be an issue for quite a lot of people. I'm going to touch on that as well, Declan, but it's about the environment, it's about the modernisation of this football club, and also it's about opening up the lines of communication again. So today, let's look at some of the positives. Dominic Mackay, what did you make of his first address to the public, address to the Celtic support?
Yeah, I thought it was very positive. It was obviously the kind of usual PR scripted interview that we get from Celtic, with Jeremy Culloch doing the interview and him responding to his questions. But yeah, I thought he spoke well. I thought at the fans forum meeting a few weeks ago that we both attended that it was refreshing to hear the word modernisation come up. It's clear that we're probably that phrase that Tony used, that possibly an analogue club living in a digital age, that we need to kind of pull ourselves forward a wee bit. Hopefully he's the man to do that. I think the environment does need to be right. I think we need to take a step forward. We need to start to act in a lot more professional manner in terms of the way that we treat our fans and even just how we do our business. I would hope that if Postecoglou has specific targets, that the club do everything they can to try and get those targets, and we don't have more what ifs that we've been having for the past 5 or so years in terms of, probably before that actually, you can go way back, in terms of transfer targets that don't end up coming to the club. So yeah, the environment does need to be right, but I hope that, you know, Postecoglou and Dominic Mackay can hopefully take us forward and bring about that change and modernisation of the club.
Now, a couple of interesting points. Graham Cowden comes in on YouTube, and I know that every point that's came up so far has come in through YouTube. That is not deliberate. It's just that far more people watch on YouTube, therefore far more many comments come in on that particular channel. But we will get some of the Twitter and Facebook viewers involved as well. Graham Cowden says, Ange was the right sort of appointment if we had just won the 10. It's not a huge gamble. Now, let's split it up into two different parts then, Lawrence. Had we just won the 10, I think the reaction would be completely different to an announcement and an appointment like Ange Postecoglou. But I do think it's a huge gamble, personally. I think it's and I said earlier on today, I think it's a £60 million gamble, because whoever wins the Scottish League next season has got a much easier route into the Champions League riches. They don't have the qualifiers to contend with. So, you know, I think that is a massive concern. Are we right to have that concern, Lawrence Connolly?
Yeah, listen, we'd have been concerned with any manager come in, but I suppose it's all about perspective. You'd have been on the higher doing 10 in a row, you know, whereas we're now kind of looking at back at how did things go wrong. You know, we now need to regain our crown. So it's about perspective. Yeah, would it have been any easier spell at sell if we'd won the 10? Definitely, because we'd probably, there'd have been more confidence in the board and the people running the club, you know, if they delivered the 10 and hadn't been so shambolic over the past 12 months.
Mm.
Listen, Ange's reputation is another Tony Haggerty saying, isn't it? It's rip-roaring, never boring, free-scoring football. So if he does bring that to Celtic Park, there's not going to be many complaints, is there?
Well, probably. Now, what I've got here is, I think, Declan, that the Celtic support, and the disclaimer with a wee asterisk down the bottom of the page, I do not speak for the entire support of Celtic Football Club. The Celtic support, I think we're expecting a big response from the Celtic board after last season's shambles. I mean, what else can you say about last season? And Lawrence was saying there that, you know, if we get a return to this style of football or a football philosophy, which we'll touch on later on in the show, a lot of Celtic fans will be happy. Do you think they will? Because I've been thinking back to a lot of the appointments we've made. I remember Martin O'Neill coming in, and you remember on the steps at Celtic Park, he spoke about, he didn't speak about playing fast, free-flowing, attacking, entertaining football. I remember Tony Mowbray speaking like that. So there's a balance here. What do you want? It'd be nice to have both, but surely winning's more important than anything else.
Yeah, we want success and we want trophies back in the trophy room at Celtic Park. It's always good for teams to play the Celtic way, but, you know, we want to bring success back to the club. It's a golden ticket this season coming up to, if you win the league, you get into the Champions League and a free pass, which, you know, it's very difficult to get into the Champions League, as we know. We've failed on it for the past...
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more. It's The Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio is a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
two seasons we've not had Champions League music at Celtic Park since December 2017, I think is correct. So, yeah, it's a golden ticket this season. So I think it's imperative that we obviously win the league this season.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on afterwards, you know. But there'll be a lot of different factors that will play into it. I thought it was interesting in Postecoglou's interview when he spoke about youth and saying that age was not an issue. It'll be interesting to see whether he delivers on that. But certainly there's a big golden ticket for us, and there's a big carrot dangling winning the league this year, which needs to be our main focus and objective to do so.
We will talk about some of the doubts that are coming in from across the fan base, Lawrence, in relation to the backroom team, for example, in relation to John Kennedy, Gavin Strachan, perhaps being part of that team. But let's talk about the nature of the appointment. There's no such thing in football as a safe bet. There absolutely is not a safe bet. But in the last couple of weeks, quite a lot of Celtic fans and the contributors to Axom have spoken about getting a safe pair of hands in to do the job. I've heard Steve Clark's name being mentioned and others. Who do you think, Lawrence, should have been approached? I mean, there's plenty of managers available. We know that quite a few of them have already been interviewed for this position. But, you know, some Celtic fans are looking even down south. If we class ourselves as one of, we class this job as one of the biggest jobs in world football. That was what was in the statement today. This is one of the biggest jobs in world football. Then surely we should be going for a name of renown when it comes to the European football landscape that we operate in. Loads of names coming out. Are we being maybe too optimistic to think that we could have been bargaining for someone like Lucien Favre, for example, who has got pedigree in Switzerland, France, Germany? Or are we being a Euro snob, which was what Jared called it last week, when people outside of the European football bubble don't think that there's talent elsewhere?
I think what we're trying to do is pick a coach whose best days are ahead of him rather than behind him. So, Favre, you know, I'd have thought, yeah, it's somebody we should have spoken to. I know Massimo Milano, Allegri is away back to Juve, a rumour to come back to Juve, but he was someone else we could have spoke to. But I think the club's... there's got to be a realisation a lot that the big managers want big budgets, and we only have so much money to spend. And I think with this, it is a definite case of going, can we get a manager that whose best days are in front of him? And that's probably why they've went for Postecoglou. As much as his own man, I think it'll be easier to control and work within budgets rather than, you know, if we went for Benitez, how much money would he really want to spend on his backroom staff, let alone on his signs. So it's kind of hard gig, you know, to say that we're one of the best in world football, which we're going for the top manager. There's a lot comes with that, isn't there?
You know, there
the,
is.
The backroom staff,
yeah.
The level of wages the backroom staff expect before we even start talking about signs in a football team. You know, as much as I suppose Brendan was successful here, he did up a lot of the wages of the first teamers. You know, I think what Tom Rozic's on about 20 grand a week or something, and you're going, how are we getting 20 grand up off of them? So sometimes it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I think with Postecoglou, it's for me it's exciting times, and hopefully for most of the Celtic support, he's got a reputation of winning things, which, you know, no one's going to complain about if he keeps that up. Fast flowing attacking football, we're not going to complain about that. Developing youth, we're not going to complain about that. Maybe Jared's right, maybe we are just being Euro snobs. The big thing is, it's, I don't know a lot about Japanese football other than Nakamura and Mizuno. Aussie football, I know even less about. You know, so you've got McDonald and Rodic, but when big Marco Viduka or Mark Viduka. Yeah, so it's, I suppose, a wee bit fiery there.
Don't forget Daniel Arzani.
Oh, Arzani, of course, mate. Sorry, I thought he was still injured.
He probably is. But on that point, and by the way, when Jared said it, I thought, I'm probably suffering a bit from that myself. So it was a good point. And that's why I've kind of raised it with you, Lawrence, because I don't want to turn my nose up at any, you know, nation of footballers. I mean, that's a sweeping statement to say Japanese football's no good, Australian football's no good. But I was looking this morning, and this was a name that obviously is a guy who's worked with Postecoglou in the past. We know he's not going to be part of the backroom team, but Kevin Muscat done pretty well in the A-League. He won a double in the A-League. He then worked with the Australian national side with Postecoglou, and because of his success, he ended up getting a job in European football in Belgium. He lasted 15 games. 15 games is all he lasted, Declan. So if you're trying to gauge levels, if you like, of a manager coming in from a specific football environment and coming to European football, that's one thing. But you can ramp that up a few levels further when it's Glasgow, the Goldfish Bowl, and the situation Celtic are in. We've heard quite a bit about his temperament. How well suited do you think Declan McConville, that the new man's going to be to the environment he's going to be operating in this season?
Yeah, I think on that point, Paul, Pedro Cazinha, obviously, keep it Glasgow, didn't work out, but then went and won a league championship in Mexico. So I think it also depends on what environment, again, you're coming out in, what kind of position the football club and what they're willing to give you. So, you know, that comes into play. We probably are Euro snobs, I'd probably admit to that. You know, in terms of Australian and Japanese football, I don't know anything about, really, apart from maybe watching the national sides at World Cups, so I don't know a lot about them. But, yeah, I think, you know, 55-year-old man, he's obviously handled the pressure of the Australian national team well. He's handled the pressure of a World Cup tournament well. I remember that Holland and Australia game, 3-2 game, one of probably the best games at a World Cup that I've watched. So he's been there in a big stage. He's handled it. As I say, he's an experienced man. And I just hope his temperament carries through. You know, we already have heard and read that he's got a bit of a character about him when it comes to journalists, which he'll probably need in Scotland. So I just hope that that will stand him in good stead. And, you know, Gordon Strachan always used to say, you're one draw away from a disaster at Celtic. Hopefully the draws and losses are few and far between, but if there is any, that it doesn't, you know, go in the back foot from there, it just continues to hopefully implement his philosophy and continue to take us forward.
Some more comments coming in. Hypo 543, Ange jumped at the job. It's the first European job he's been offered. He must be good. And we have CNNRM. Undeniably, the man has a mammoth task at hand. He's already at a disadvantage. 100% he needs backing. And here's one. Robert Scullion comes in to ask, is it any more of a risk than giving it twice to Neil Lennon? Now, I take the point because, I mean, we're looking at a season last season that was dreadful. It was dreadful from a Celtic perspective. In many, many ways, it was dreadful. I mean, it got to the point where it wasn't just disagreements that Celtic fans were having with each other. There was divisions in amongst the Celtic support, and I don't like seeing that, but it did happen. And I think a big part of that was the frustration in not actually being at the games and not being able to vent and, you know, speak on the way to the games, coming home, and the boozers down the Gallagate, whatever you do on match day. You know, that basically came, I think, at a cost. And the cost is that there's a lot of divisions, and I'm hoping that once we get back to Celtic Park that will dissipate. Another good point coming in. What makes Howe so much better? This goes back to what I was saying to Lawrence earlier. Limited success and one failed move away from Bournemouth. Why would there be more excitement for Howe over Ange? Is this all about perception, Lawrence Connolly?
Yeah, no, I think commentators get... Great point. I mean, how is the EPL magic stardust, isn't it? It's all marketing down there. But really, what's he achieved? Could his achievements stack up against Postecoglou, who's won things? At the end of the day, you want a manager that's going to deliver trophies. Howe's never faced this kind of pressure. He went away to Burnley and people say, but stuff going on in his personal life and that. Well, what happens if his stuff going on in his personal life when he gets to Glasgow? Does that mean he wouldn't be able to handle it then? You know, your personal life doesn't stop for your job. It's kind of, especially when you're managing Celtic. So, yeah. Listen, I'm not... I don't see him as riskier than Howe. With Howe, I think the club is going to definitely back him, but it's a fairly risky strategy for the club if they are pushing the boat out and everything with nothing in reserve. So I'm hoping that we'll see a wee bit more sense in people we bring in rather than just mining the EPL market. You know, there's been a few EPL players that have come up that just, let's be honest, totally have a cut up here. Remember, like Lundberg going to come up? You know, guys that are going to the superstars up here?
I think John Joe Kenny, you know, just in recent times has come up and he's completely flattered to deceive. When you look at his performances, Lawrence, and the fact that, you know, we sell a player, and I know we didn't get the full amount because of the sell-on for 11.5 million quid, and Jeremy Frimpong, you replace him with a loanee from Everton. And, you know, I didn't think he set the Heller alight. Nowhere near it, in actual fact. So even in the near distance there, Lawrence, you've got a player who came up from that level, and he didn't look great to me.
No, he didn't look to do it. I mean, there was another boy from Everton, Barton, totally failed in Glasgow as well, didn't he? So you're looking at it and going, the EPL doesn't guarantee success. You know, guarantee a headline. You know, and the fact that you pay big wages.
Yeah.
Outside of that Welsh canteen, and, you know, when people commentated how much stuff he was on, does it cause unrest within the squad? When people come in and they're getting so much more than their team members because we bought them on loan from the EPL? And I don't know, mate. But the EPL, I don't think it's all it's cracked up to be. There's a lot of poor games and poor players down there.
Big wages, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we've shown we can develop a number of players that go down there and do well. With Yama, Van Dijk, Armstrong, Tierney. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've shown we can develop players.
Forster.
That do well at that level.
Yeah. One of my big concerns as well, this has been, first thing this morning when I seen the announcement, the first thing I heard from a pundit was that this was a punt. I'd rather call it left field. Now, the last time we had a left field kind of manager, it was Ronnie Dyla, Declan. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie obviously won two in a row, he won a double, very close to winning a treble. We know how that went, Lawrence. We won't labour the fact, but we know how that went. But what I would say is that, yeah, a lot of people say, well, you know, it worked, but it necessitated the big investment that we had to make in Brendan Rodgers. So I'm looking at this situation at the moment, another left field one. You know, is it really boxing clever to bring someone in when possibly we're going to have to really throw everything in the kitchen sink at it if it doesn't work out?
Well, what players did it develop? What youth players did we get out of Delia? And what other managers is it, you know, McGregor, Tierney?
Massive impact.
So you're looking at Rodgers, Lenny, have they given us players from our youths the same level?
I think Rodgers helped in that development, Lawrence, but I've given Ronnie Dyla loads of credit for introducing guys like you mentioned there. And obviously, you know, he had a massive part to play in Chris Ayer, who may be leaving the building this summer. But it was that left field appointment, which, by the way, at that time, I think we were in a position to do that quite comfortably.
Yeah.
And again, that's another thing I'm a bit concerned about. But it necessitated a huge investment in bringing in Brendan Rodgers from that environment that we've been talking about, Lawrence. If you bring someone out of that environment, it costs you a hell of a lot of money.
Totally, but you know, what's your criteria for appointing a manager? What will we measure the candidates against? Ability to develop youth was surely one of the things we want to measure them against. What have they won in the past? What's their style of football? Do you think one of the criteria has to have managed in the EPL should even be on there?
Nope.
Has to have managed in a top five league? So if that doesn't need to be on there as a criteria, why should it be seen as left field if he's...
I wouldn't say the EPL.
EPL, right.
But I would expect, you know, anything out with the top leagues in Europe to be looked at with a little bit of cynicism. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And as I say to the Perius, I think I probably suffered from a wee bit of that snobbery myself. We're not convinced, are we, with the environments that he's been successful in. Although, you know, you could argue that at international level, he has proved that he is a coach who can come and adapt and come to Scotland and adapt. But, you know, this is a completely different ballgame when you come to Glasgow, Declan. I mean, do you have any concerns in terms of the environment swallowing up someone like Ange Postecoglou that's done it with so many other people in the past?
Yeah, I think on the point with Ronnie, Paul, you know, successful for one season to an extent. You know, we won a double. Again, you touched on, cheated out a treble in that semi-final. And, you know, again, players like Jason Denier, John Guidetti, we had decent signings that season. We were a decent enough team. Probably could have put Inter Milan out the Europa League. We missed out in the Champions League. And again, you know, we all know what's happened in there, well documented, four of the first team players undermining the manager. Again, you know, maybe in Ronnie's character compared to Ange, would have dealt with that a lot differently. And if you even look at the signings that started to trickle in that second season under Ronnie Delia, you know, Colin Kazim Richards, Calton Cole, a few others not to mention. So say the Yanko was another one that came in, Tyler Blackett. So, you know, in terms of the whole environment that Ronnie was in, I think that we all look back in Ronnie Dyla and look at what he was trying to do in terms of trying to probably do what Dominic Mackay was talking about in terms of modernisation of the club, in terms of new ways to think about football, ways to progress the club. So I think it just depends again on the environment that Ange Postecoglou comes into. You know, he's probably got quite a blank slate in terms of a core of players there, so he'll be building a first team. It won't be as much a carry on as what probably Ronnie had to do and changing attitudes like Anthony Stokes, Charlie Mulgrew, whoever. So I think that the atmosphere is different, but I think, you know, Ronnie at a different time might have worked out in a different way. So it's just a case of, as I said, I'm intrigued by what could happen under Ange Postecoglou.
That's an interesting point, though, Declan. And he spoke about it, didn't he? Ronnie Dyla spoke about the culture at the club. And I don't think he was able to change the culture. And that may have been one of the reasons why he was able to engage with and develop and tap into the younger players. But the kind of older pros were against his methods. It's a wee bit different this time round, though, Lawrence, is it not? Because it would appear that some of the players weren't reacting to the previous manager's philosophies or approach. And we've got a new manager coming in. Is this going to breathe new life into some of the guys that were underperforming?
Let's hope so. You know, any change, you normally get some kind of positive result, even in the short term, but let's hope it's long term. But Declan touched on an interesting thing. Some of the signings that kind of crept in the second season under Delia. We could say the same about Rodgers, but then again, we've got to wonder who was making the signings.
Yeah.
And we know structure at the club, that was a big problem. Managers, even Strachan talked about it, didn't know who the court was. Rodgers famously on shred. You know, it's like, we don't need another winger. That's something that really needs sorted. You know, there's no point in a new manager if we keep making the same mistakes and let someone else do the signings from who knows where. Wait until after qualifications over before making the investment in the team. If we go down that route again, you know, it's not fair for them post the call, and I don't think that anyone within the sport wants us to see us keep repeating the same mistakes season after season, which is one of the most frustrating things, especially when it comes to signing players for Europe.
Yes.
Wait until after qualifiers, and everybody in the sport's going, sign them now, sign them before the qualifiers.
Sign them in January.
Give us the best chance. Let's use them in that game where we can get the best return from them. But you know, we'll wait and see. Hopefully that's one of the things that's being reviewed.
See, when we go back to maybe October time, Declan, and there was a lot of talk on a Celtic state of mind around the change at the club, and we needed the change from top to bottom. We're starting to see the changes filtering in. So we've had, obviously, Dominic Mackay is in the building, doesn't go live until the 1st of July, but he's clearly been involved in this appointment. We've got a new manager coming in. I guess that some people might be looking at the comments and saying, well, you asked for it, now that you've got it, you can't complain, because you've asked for Peter Lowell to be removed, you've asked for Neil Lennon to be removed, yet you're still not happy with the appointments. I don't think it's that we're unhappy with the appointment. It's just that, you know, this season of all seasons, I mean, last season was big, but in terms of financials going into the next season, this is massive for Celtic. Does it concern you, Declan, that we still don't have a director of football, we don't have the head of recruitment, there are other areas of the football club that need replacements, we don't even at the moment have a recognised captain? People might think it's going to be Callum McGregor. That we'll need to wait and see. Because I look at the cohesion, I guess, between a director of football and the manager of the football team, and I think that's important. Would you expect that to be the next move for the club?
Well, you know, in that statement that came out this morning, there was no mention of it. Again, when we've spoken about that, it's Postecoglou's title was manager. And if you were going to that structure, they'd likely have been head coach. So, and also, if you were bringing in a director of football, you'd have expected him to have a a recommendation and whoever got the job a head coach. So it almost looks as if that whole idea has been scrapped. You know, and Fergal Harkin and whatnot have been well documented. So I think there is a concern, and there's also a concern of the backroom team. We know that John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan are still within the building, and whether they'll retain their positions as assistant manager and first team coach is something that we'll still need to see looking forward. But yeah, I think that is a concern, Paul, that at this point in time, although Postecoglou was obviously in the Dundalk McKay, as you say, there's still a lot of bits of the jigsaw puzzle missing going forward, so the sooner that gets sorted out, the better.
Lawrence, it's a great point that Declan makes. He has been appointed certainly as the manager. The club were also at pains to stress that Eddie Howe was selecting the director of football. That was all part of the backroom team that he was assembling to come into Celtic Park. And I appreciate there's a few comments coming in saying, forget about how well. It kind of bleeds into the Postecoglou appointment. So, you know, we will be talking about, I'm not crying into my pillow that we didn't get him or anything like that. But the situation with Howe was he was going to be instrumental in bringing in a director of football. We then appoint a manager with no mention of a director of football. Do you see a change in direction? Do you think the club are moving elsewhere?
Listen, it could be, I'm not too fussed whether we call him manager or head coach, as long as there's a director of football. And the point that we were saying, like, Low and Lennon need to be removed. And I think it was more, the club needs to be modernised and we need to get the correct structure in place. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we thought Peter Law was interfering too much in the football side of stuff. So that was part of the reason the changes need to be made. So if we don't get this correct structure in place and it follows the same mistakes, if McKay then says, well, look, this is what Peter used to do. He used to get involved with the transfers. He used to sign players for managers. Maybe I'll just do that. I don't think that's what anyone wants to see. So I think we're definitely going to get, can I get the roles and structures defined? And you know, and if that was the optimum structure for the football club, why is it not the optimum structure if Howe's not coming? If that's the best structure you can have, surely it's the best structure. You know, and I get that the club's maybe a bit behind because we mess Fergal Harkin about. And to be honest, you know, I can completely understand why he said, listen, do one. He's were hanging out for having his director of football, and I'm they've kept me stringing along. He was rumoured for 6 or 7 months. So I could see how that would knock us right back in recruiting someone for that position. But I think it's a position that we need to look to fill. Head of recruitment's another one. You know, as much as Ange has watched the European football, and he knows obviously the markets in Australasia and Asia, you think we'd be bringing in a head of recruitment to manage the whole thing? I know there's been rumours of McGuinness coming back to do that. He's been successful in MLS. So we'll wait and see what the club's at.
Looks like we might have lost Lawrence. Oh, you're back, Lawrence. You're back. I'll have a wee chat with Declan just while your connection catches up with us. Now, with regards to the restructure that Lawrence speaks about, Declan, that takes into account obviously the youth setup and development, the sports science part of the football club, the recruitment, which is massive. Do you think that that should also include a shake-up in the boardroom?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of some of the guys that have been in there, they've probably overstayed their welcome. It's not good for it to become a kind of cosy suits club, which has it been for probably out with Chris McKay and Sharon Brown, in terms of the longevity that they've been there. Majority of the other guys have been there for a long, long time. So, you know, I think you do need that freshness in the boardroom. Obviously, we know that Peter Lobel's going to be departing. Dermot Desmond's the majority shareholder, so I wouldn't imagine he'll be going anywhere anytime soon. But other guys, Brian Wilson, Tom Allison, they've been there for a very long time, and whether or not they would consider that it's time to move on is another question, but likely not, because it's a very cosy position that they're in. But I think that probably does need to come in terms of moving forward, in terms of modernisation. You can't expect the same people who have been there and did the old ways to do the new ways. Mm-hmm. So I think as time gradually goes on, it's something that probably, you know, wouldn't be Dominic McKay going about saying you're sacked, but Yeah, I think that's something that probably does eventually need to come.
It's a great point, Declan, because yes, modernisation, that's one of the buzzwords, Lawrence. So we're talking about modernising the football side of things, yet can you modernise it when Gavin Strachan and John Kennedy, who were part of the failure of last season, are still part of it? Can you modernise a football club when the board remains the same? Now, I think what's happened for many, many years is you had someone in Peter Lowell who was an absolute Goliath in the boardroom, wasn't he? I mean, the influence that he had at Celtic in Scottish football and further afield was huge. We can't underestimate that. Of course, it was massive. And it seems to me as though almost he's kind of carried some of the others along with him. Dominic Mackay's coming into that environment. And you would hope that there was enough creativity and enough strong characters within that boardroom. And if not, then surely we do need to shake it up. And some of these people who have got a wee bit too cosy and aren't contributing a massive amount to Celtic Football Club should be replaced as well.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely. I mean, Peter's influence was huge. I mean, even extended to other universes where we used to get bids for quiz from. But we've got to look at the current board and go, what value are they adding here?
Yeah.
Are they still adding value as board members? Mm. If they're not adding value, what are they doing? And I think you need to go right through that board and go, well, what value are you adding? For me, it's hard to see, you know, but I think a lot of them, you know, you could have the board and not miss them. It's...
Well, there was a lot, and this is all joking aside, there was a lot of people asking who's that when they were appearing on the big banners outside Celtic Park.
There was, you know, centralisation of power, basically, between what was probably Peter Lowell and Dermot McDason, when everybody else just kind of, you know, as Lawrence said there, how big an influence do they have in decision-making? From what we probably know, and as you say, Paul, in terms of their notoriety, hardly anybody knows a lot of the people in the boardroom, so...
No, you're right.
There's rumours of Ross Desmond coming on board. We'll wait and see if that happens. You know, that was part of, I think it was Christmas time or something. It was rumoured that Dermot's son was going to join. It'd be interesting to see if that happens, but it's definitely something that needs looked at. You know, what function are they serving? Are they adding value? And I think I touched on it from the banners with the guy, some, you know, most people didn't know them, but you go, well, what function do you want a board to serve? We want them to bring fresh ideas. We want them to hold the CEO accountable. But were these guys doing that?
I doubt it. And I think a freshen up is required. Good point coming in from Facebook. Gus Hiddink was reported to be ahead of Martin O'Neill for the boss and the boss's job 20 years ago. If Ange is second best and he does half as well as O'Neill, then he will do just fine. Ange gets my full backing now. Let's move on from Howe. Gets my full backing as well. I mean, you know, that's what you do as a Celtic supporter. But you can discuss any concerns that you might have moving forward. And one of the biggest concerns as well, we've been talking a bit about Peter Lowell and some of the names that are cropping up, you know, from Harkin to some of the players that came in under Ronnie Dyla, and Postecoglou himself. They're all centering on the City Group and obviously the connections that we had between Peter Lowell and that group are widely recognised. Is that something, Declan, that you think you look at the benefits of that? Look at some of the players we've had from that kind of, you know, marrying up with Man City, for example. We've done pretty well out of it, haven't we? Is that, have we had one eye on that when we're bringing in Postecoglou, obviously coming from a club who are part owned by the City Group?
Yeah, I imagine that would have played into it. You know, it's been well documented. Jason Denier, Dedrick Boyata, Paddy Roberts, John Guidetti, Jeremy Frimpong, Olivier Ncham, to name but a few. And there were other Oz, Daniel Arzani, have all worked out pretty much at Celtic. So, yeah, you know, it's they're one of the riches of the world football. They've got an amazing academy system. Phil Foden's a product of that, and look at how good a player he is. You know, arguably the best coach in the world in Pep Guardiola at this point in time. So, you know, in terms of football clubs that you could probably look for a bit of direction on, they're probably one of, but again, it's a concern that you're just trying the same old way and hoping that you get the same results, whereas that doesn't always work out. So it is a concern that may have been playing into it, but you know, I hope that Ange Postecoglou's got the Celtic job, not just in the merit that he's part of a club owned by the City Group, but because he's got the right managerial standards to come to Celtic.
He's got the right credentials. Has it ever been a concern for yourself, Lawrence, when you hear some of the names mentioned by Declan there? We've done okay out of that link-up if there is indeed a tie up there.
Well, my concern is obviously you've had David Lowen, who says Celtic are, you know, vulnerable to a takeover. What if Dermot Desmond sold his shares to the City Group? What if this is part of Dermot's exit strategy? That would be a bigger concern to me if that's the way the City Group are looking at getting a manager in. We're looking maybe buying another club. That's what would really worry me. The tie up with a successful football club that's worked out well in the past for us, well, I'm not going to be overly concerned about that. But if it's the only thing we're going to try, I would be concerned. But it's, you know, it's something, you know, I wouldn't throw the baby out of the bathwater. It's something that I like to think we can make best use of, whether that's, you know, getting players in on loan again or buying some of their youth prospects again, like Frimpong. You know, we've might have got to make quite a few million quid in that. And yeah, so it's definitely something that it's worth keeping going. But my main worry is, would the City Group look at buying them at shares?
Well, Declan, it is something that, you know, as a club, Celtic have been hit incredibly on a financial level. And yesterday, Brian was talking about the drop in asset value of a number of our players. So one that Lawrence just mentioned there, Olivier and Cham, we've heard about, you know, the interest from the likes of Porto, figures of £8 million being spoken about a year ago. There's been interest a year prior to that in Cham as well. There's been interest from AC Milan and Ayer. The fees that we're going to be getting this summer are going to be completely different for a number of reasons. Obviously, they've not been performing, but due to the COVID issue and the financial impact of that, we're looking at next season. We're looking at the potential for a Scottish club to qualify for the Champions League group stages without the qualifiers. And I was talking about a £40 to £60 million swing in the direction of Ibrox way if indeed we fail to hit the ground running and get results immediately. When you look at that, combined with the amount of drop in asset value of a number of players, be that Ryan Christie, Chris Ayer, Odson Edward, Olivier and Cham, and others, is this Celtic looking at a downsizing, a period of downsizing? Is this part of that?
Yeah, I actually think it was always probably in the plan that post 10, win or lose, there was always going to be a downsizing of the club. I think in terms of the playing squad, it had probably come to its end of its cycle and needed a refresh. And we held on to players that, you know, it's been made very clear that didn't want to be at the football club, in the hope, you know, from Chris Ayer's quote, stay for 10 to try and win 10 and then we'll let you go. So I think that cycle of players had came to an end. It's for me, Paul, it's about how much we bring in for those guys and how well we reinvest it back into the squad. It's all very well as saying possibly, you know, £15 to £18 million for Odson Edward, but it's what we do with that money after we get it. Do we go and spend it on a £5 million Albinagetti and it doesn't work out? This is so far. Don't know what could happen next season with him. Or do we go and, you know, get a steal as a player who comes and does the business for us? So it's about how we reinvest it. But yeah, I think there probably will be an element of downsizing, but the only positive that I would say on that is the fact that we were looking to give Eddie Howe a blank canvas in terms of money needs to be something that we need to look at for Ange Postecoglou in terms of that phrase I used earlier, the golden ticket, and it's something that might appeal to players to come and play for Celtic, win the league this year, and you're into the Champions League and you get to dine at the table with the big boys. So, yeah, I think there's a pull with Celtic this season, and it's how we reinvest the money that we bring in back into the squad.
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned a name there that we didn't bring up earlier, Lawrence, when we're talking about bringing players out of the EPL and them not really showing anything. And I think another one of them over the piece has been Albiana Yeti. We went into the campaign of trying to win 10 in a row, and we know what the investment was at that stage. And, you know, as a club and as the podcast and everything else, we were lording it over all these signings coming in. How do you see that transpiring this pre-season? What kind of level of investment are you expecting in the playing squad?
Look, listen, recruitment's key to anything. We've got to get the right people in. And perhaps the people, you know, Peter and people that have done it previously have looked back at last season and go, what did we do wrong? What did we do differently from the previous seasons where we've won the league? Well, we held on to players by their sell-by date or passed when they wanted to leave. We pushed the boat out in big money EPLs that we haven't really done before. So we definitely changed our strategy completely in terms of how we managed our assets and what kind of level of spending we were doing. We went kind of thinking EPL, we'll spend the money there, that'll guarantee success. So maybe Peter's looking and going, that was a huge mistake. I think we all would say that recruitment didn't work out well for us. Hanging on to players, changing the way we managed our assets didn't work out well for us. Perhaps, you know, as much as Lenny was saying, the fans were blinded by the 10 and the obsession with the 10. Not any more so than the board and the management team were in respect to how they recruited and how they managed the assets. So I would think going forward this season, it's kind of a back to basics of the way we previously used to do things. Start looking, where's the next Van Dijk, the next Wanyama? Where can we pick up the next Fraser Forster? Rather than trying to buy, because we thought, I'll be an 85 million Swiss internationalist, he's going to be the finished article for us. And perhaps that change didn't work for us. The same way bringing
best
in
by, Shane best Buffett. By the window, Lawrence is an SPFL player, David Turnbull.
Yes, yeah, by some yeah. distance.
Totally,
yep.
totally. Yeah. So I think we need to go back to kind of going, right, we changed it for the 10. You know, the board, the management, whoever was running recruitment, definitely changed the way they've done things.
Mm.
And I think they became more short term. We need to go back to the way of picking up Van Dijk's deniers. That I think that's what we need to be looking to do again. On Nakamura's, you never know, we might get another Naka with Angie's contacts.
Well, the thing is it a case, Declan, you bring up the David Turnbull point, which is a very, very good point. You look at the Scotland squad and the talent, the young talent that's in the Scotland squad playing at the Euros. Some of the names that are coming in the comments, players who are playing within our own league, who you think, can they make the step up? I've seen Nisbet's name being mentioned, Doig, Campbell, of Ferguson, I think Colin Watt would disagree on that one. Or is it more a case of Postecoglou is bringing in a knowledge of other markets? Or do you do what Boyce's said a couple of times in the last few weeks, where you've got that nucleus and that core and you add a bit of the old, you know, the magic dust to that, you know, the stardust, and that's your star player coming in from another league? I just get the feeling that Celtic, in terms of their strategy, it didn't work last season, and we maybe should be getting back to basics in that respect. You know, if you bring in a 21-year-old left back from, you know, a far off land, you know, I don't think it's been working for Celtic for some time. I know that it did back in the days of bringing in Van Dijk, but look at some of the money that we've wasted. You know, Patrick Klamala, I know we've got our money back, but £3.5 million because he was playing in the Polish league. Would we not be better bringing in someone from a league that we know can actually compete in the league that we're bringing him into? I mean, do you see it as a balance, or do you think we're going to get back to basics in that respect?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a striking balance. I mean, again, I don't think we're going to go out and buy like an Odson Edward again from PSG, but, you know, there's certainly decent enough players in the SPFL that we can look towards and bring in. And then again, you know, it's how Ange Postecoglou works the market. You know, as Laurent mentions there, we've got two untapped markets in Australia and Japan that we don't shopping. I think there's a lot of American footballers again that play in the Japanese League too, so again that gives you another market. But it's about, I think, being, as I said earlier, being smart about how we move for deals and really thinking, can this person improve the squad and can we get a tune out of them? Because I think if you look just in isolation from the last 6 months of the season just past, the two fullback positions, we brought in mega amounts of money for Kieran Tierney and Jeremy Frimpong and didn't replace them with, you know, anything towards the standards over them. And Greg Taylor, you know, for all the stick that he gets, I know he wasn't a big money deal, but, you know, at times this season I thought he looked a lot better than an AC Milan left back in Diego Laxalt. So, you know, I think there's decent enough players in the SPFL, but it's about, I think we need to get recruitment spot on going forward 100%.
No, you're right.
So you get back to the Turnbull thing, just as an aside, he wasn't last season's recruitment strategy, he was the seasons before recruitment strategy. It's just because of his injury, it took a year to get delivered. So as much as he was the best signing, it wasn't based on last season's strategy. That was the best strategy.
And then another half a year to play him after that as well.
Yeah.
Now, Lawrence wasn't with us on his usual day on Tuesday, so he's stepped in to the berth, which has been vacated today by JP Mason. JP is elsewhere. He will be back. And if you're watching, JP, I hope you're enjoying yourself. So I've not had the opportunity to talk to Declan or Lawrence, and we've got 5 minutes left. I've not had the opportunity to talk about the comments around the new breed of Celtic supporter. I've not had an opportunity to talk to the pair of yous about Neil Lennon's comments. Now, what I've said about it is that if you look at the nine in a row era and the three managers who were involved in bringing the nine titles to Celtic Park, Ronnie Dyla has only said good things about the Celtic support. Brendan Rodgers has only said good things about the Celtic support. Some Celtic supporters don't say very nice things about him, right enough. But for Neil Lennon to come out and say what he did, Lawrence, you were a massive supporter of Neil Lennon. You continue to support him way beyond a lot of the Axom contributors when we were asking for him to be removed from post. How did you feel when you read these comments the other day?
Listen, I can't believe he paid a PR company and that was the piece of advice they gave him. Attack some Celtic fans and tell them you've got nothing in common with them. You know, you're like, it is like, could it have been any more wrong in these steps that he made? I don't know what he means by new breed. Does he mean some of the abuse that some players got on social media? Do they mean the bus getting attacked? He was a bit vague. There's a new breed. Does he talk about age? I'm not too sure what it means by it. But I think by and large, over his association with the club, Lenny's had a large amount of backing from Celtic fans. It didn't end nicely. And a lot of that was down to do with results, whether Lenny, you know, should accept and not get his own background staff or not, but I couldn't believe he came away with it. And even more so that a professional PR company's advising him to say it. It just seems so obviously the wrong thing for him to say. If he's ever looking for any kind of reconciliation or to draw a line under this season and to kind of move on and get a new job, that's got to have set him backwards, isn't it?
Well, again, you're right. It's up for interpretation as to what he means by new breed. But I think that part of this new breed are platforms like a Celtic State of Mind. I feel that he, you know, Neil Lennon and others believe that we have an influence on the people who listen in that can then, you know, fan the flames, if you like. And when that happens, obviously, people become frustrated, Declan. But when you're looking at the situation with Neil Lennon, how disappointed were you as a fan and a supporter of Neil Lennon? I've got to say, Declan, as you have been for a long time, how disappointed were you with his comments?
Yeah, I think I agree with Lawrence. You know, probably the fans aren't the people that should be talking about in terms of a new breed of supporter. You know, probably in terms of my age group, that probably come under that. You know, I've grown up in a generation where we have probably just known success, and in times of turmoil, it's probably something you know, that some folk don't react to as well as. But you know, I don't think that the Celtic fans should be the target anything of comments to be said on it. I thought he made some decent points throughout the article, but on the new breed of supporter, you know, in terms of, you know, the relationship with fans, it's probably now gone, unfortunately, which is a sad thing. But yeah, you know, I'm not 100% sure what he meant by new breed of supporter, and if it's, you know, folk my age, yeah, I would say some folk have, you know, but, you know, I think everybody has the best intention, especially as fans, to just want to have a successful football club.
Over and above anything else, it's all about Celtic. It's, you know, individuals aren't part of that, Declan, and that is why managers and players come and go, because you want success for Celtic.
Well, see if he was in a podcast and fan media, it's always existed. Perhaps not through this medium, but you know, you're not the view, the alternative view. There's always been fan
new
media.
New issue today, by the way. Just give that a wee quick plug.
New issue of what?
Turn up views out today. Yep.
Available on
the Big Ange on the front cover.
He is in the front cover, just like magic. Just like magic, and it will be out in all good news agents today. So if you want a good read from some good Celtic writers, be sure to pick one up.
Let's end on a positive. He doesn't know what a 4X is. Let's end on a positive and speak about the new CEO. I said already, and people may disagree, I felt it was a wee bit harsh that his face appeared on one of the flags, but it was quite clear that the group were working through everybody who is part of the highest echelons of Celtic Football Club, and he certainly is that. The new CEO to listen to fans going forward. From what we've heard, Lawrence, he is listening to fans. He is listening to supporters. He is getting in touch directly, not making a big song and dance about it. He's getting in touch directly with supporters to share his vision. How confident are you going forward that this is a new beginning for Celtic and it's going to be led by the new CEO?
Listen, I hope it is. He's obviously very skilled in communication. His background's in PR. You know, from what we've heard, it's good things just now. I thought it came across well in today's video. It's what we've been asking for. You know, we're not asking for us to run the club, but at least, you know, take our thoughts and points on view and communicate with us. Let us know what's happening. Give us some confidence that you know what you're doing as a board. Communicate your strategy. And I don't just mean what Celtic's goals are. We just want to do better than last year. You know, have some kind of plan that's measurable, whether that's developing players, you know, youths getting minutes on the park, as well as how far we're going to progress in Europe. But yeah, hopefully, mate. He definitely is. I thought it was a bit of fresh air coming in from his. So let's hope it continues.
Let's hope it continues. And that one's for you, Declan. Wouldn't give a 4X for anything else, mate. Thank you very much for Declan McConville and Lawrence Connolly for joining me once again. On the 106th day, Celtic gave us Ange Postecoglou. Thanks, everyone, for getting involved on Twitter, YouTube and on Facebook. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:30. Thanks for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio is a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.